The second caliph of Islam, Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu. Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome once again in our new episode of our program, The Second Caliph of Islam, Umar bin Khattab, radiyallahu anhu. In this program, dear viewers, we talk about the greatness of Farooq-e-Azam radiyallahu anhu. We touch upon different aspects of his blessed seerah and we enlighten our hearts further with his love, with his eminence. And today, dear viewers, we'll talk about the qazis that he appointed and what attributes, what qualities would he keep in view when it came to choosing or appointing a qazi in any city. Before doing that, dear viewers, let's first of all listen to a virtue of sending peace and salutations upon the noble prophet, the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In one hadith, the prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said that he who sends salat upon me once, Allah Almighty showers 10 mercies upon him. He who sends salat upon me 10 times, Allah Almighty showers 100 mercies upon him. And he who sends salat upon me 100 times, then Allah Almighty inscribes between both his eyes that this person is free from hypocrisy and fire of hell. And on the day of judgment, he'll be kept among martyrs. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Now dear viewers, today we'll discuss about the qazis that were appointed during the time of Farooq-e-Azam radiyallahu anhu. And we'll also go through some of the qazis, who they were, their names, who were appointed in certain cities by Sayyidina Farooq-e-Azam radiyallahu anhu. Now dear viewers, when it comes to choosing a qazi, the fundamental and main right for this, the main power for this appointment is with the leader of the time, the caliph of the time. So in other words, it would be Farooq-e-Azam radiyallahu anhu, he who held this power regarding appointing someone as a qazi in any city. Or this power is also given to that very governor of the state who is allowed by the caliph of the time to have this appointment on his behalf. So it would either be the caliph of the time, i.e. Farooq-e-Azam radiyallahu anhu, who would appoint a qazi in a city, or it would be the governor of that very city who would choose the qazi of that city if the governor of that city was given this power by the caliph of the time. So if Farooq-e-Azam radiyallahu anhu had given this power to any governor of any city, then he would also have this power of appointing the qazi in his very city. Now, dear viewers, when it came to appointing a qazi in any city, Farooq-e-Azam radiyallahu anhu specially made sure that that very individual has the capacity, has the capability of fulfilling all the responsibilities under the light of justice, that he is competent enough to establish justice when he is appointed and he is given the responsibility of the qazi of the city. Qazi in other words means judge. So you can imagine that what a great responsibility this would be, what a great rank and designation this would be, and the person who would be appointed as the qazi at the time, what a great individual he would be, as Farooq-e-Azam radiyallahu anhu would specially make sure that if he's appointing anyone as a qazi, then he's competent enough and he meets all the requirements, he has all the qualities. And if he had given this permission, this power to any of the governors, that they can appoint any qazi in their city, then he would make sure that those governors are well acquainted with the requirements of a qazi, so that a competent qazi can be appointed. Now, dear viewers, Farooq Azam radiallahu anh, he had two special distinctions when it came to choosing or appointing a qazi. The first is that during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Farooq Azam radiallahu anh would also make some decisions. And during the time of the first caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh, Farooq Azam radiallahu anh at that time was also appointed as a qazi. So he knew the subtleties of being a qazi. What subtleties there are when you are appointed at the designation of qazi. What are the matters that you need to be sure of when you become a qazi? So he radiallahu anh knew the sensitivities, the subtleties of being a qazi anyways. And the second speciality he radiallahu anh possessed was that his wisdom, his farsightedness was phenomenal. It was second to none and never had it been proven to be wrong. So his wisdom and farsightedness ensured that every time he chose any individual as a qazi, then he was wise, he was experienced, and he was a righteous individual. So dear viewers, Farooq Azam radiallahu anh himself, he was second to none when it came to choosing an individual and ensuring that he meets all the requirements of being a qazi. Now dear viewers, when qazis were chosen during the time of Farooq Azam radiallahu anh, they were of two types. One were who were solely qazi, who were only qazi of the state. And then there were also such qazis who were also governors. So these were the two categories of qazis during the time of Farooq Azam radiallahu anh. One who were only qazis and one who were governors as well as qazis. Now, first of all, let's talk about the capital of the time, the city of all cities, the paradise on earth, Madinatul Munawwara, subhanallah. So Farooq Azam radiallahu an chose Sayyiduna Zaid bin Thabit radiallahu an as the qazi of Madinatul Munawwara. Why was that? It was because Sayyiduna Zaid bin Thabit radiallahu an possessed many attributes, many qualities. One was that he was Sahabi Rasul, he was the companion of the Prophet. Another was that he was Qatibi Wahi, he was the scribe of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. When a Wahi would be revealed upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, then Zaid bin Thabit radiallahu an was amongst those individuals who would write that Wahi on for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Another speciality that he had was that he was expert in Syriac and in Hebrew languages. Along with that, no one in entire Arab was as competent as him when it came to Ilmul Fara'id. There were many other attributes and many other qualities as well, but these were just a few which Zaid ibn Thabit radiallahu anh possessed, and Farooq Azam radiallahu anh appointed Zaid ibn Thabit radiallahu anh as the Qazi of Madinatul Munawwara. Sayyidina Ka'b bin Sawwar al-Azdi rahmatullahi alayh was appointed as the Qazi of Basra. Now, Sayyidina Ka'b bin Sawwar al-Azdi radiallahu anh, he was very wise, and when it came to very subtle issues, very sensitive issues, then he was known to deal with them expertly. And his decisions that he made, they were very, very famous. The famous Tabi'i, someone like Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin rahmatullah alayh, he's also quoted many of his decisions and many of his rulings that he delivered. Now, when we talk about the land of Palestine, subhanallah, it was Sayyidina Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu anh who was appointed as the Qazi of Palestine by Farooq Azam radiallahu anh. So again, he radiallahu anh was the Sahabi Rasul, he was the companion of the Prophet, and he radiallahu anh also had many other excellences as well, such as during the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he radiallahu anh, Sayyidina Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu anh, had memorized the entire Quran. And it was because of this speciality that he radiallahu anh was declared as the qari of Ashab Sufa by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, meaning Sayyidina Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu anh was appointed to teach Ashab Sufa the Quran by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. This great responsibility was given to him by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and Farooq Azam radiallahu anh chose him to be the qazi of Palestine. When we talk about Kufa, dear viewers, it was Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu an, who was appointed as the Qazi of Kufa. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu an, again, he was second to none when it came to Quran and Sunnah. He was an unparalleled scholar of Quran and Sunnah. And he radiyallahu an was also a mujtahid, someone who could perform independent reasoning, someone who could derive rulings from Quran and Hadith himself. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu an is appointed as the Qazi in Kufa by Farooq Azam radiyallahu an. And after Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu an, Farooq Azam radiyallahu an appointed Qazi Shurih rahmatullah alayh as the Qazi of Kufa. And again, the wisdom, the intellectuality of Qazi Shurih rahmatullah alayh is very, very famous. And the likes of the fourth caliph of Islam, the Lion of Allah, Mawla Ali karramallahu wajhahu al-kareem, would call Qazi Shurih rahmatullah alayh as Aqd al-Arab, meaning the greatest Qazi of Arab. Imagine that someone like Sayyidina Ali karramallahu wajhahu al-kareem is giving the title of the greatest Qazi of Arab to Qazi Shurih rahmatullah alayh. Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu wajhahu al-kareem, who's known as Babul Ilm, who was given the title of Babul Ilm, the door of knowledge, by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. If he's giving this title to Qazi Shurih rahmatullah alayh, subhanallah, then we can imagine that how wise and how intellectual Qazi Shurih rahmatullah alayh would be. And Farooq Azam radiyallahu anhu appointed him as the Qazi of Kufa after Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. And Sayyidina Salman bin Rabi' radiyallahu an was first appointed as the Qazi of Basra and then Qazi of Qadisiyah. Furthermore, dear viewers, Sayyidina Qais bin Abu al-As Qarashi was appointed as the Qazi of Misr, as the Qazi of Egypt. In addition to these Qazis, dear viewers, the other Qazis who were appointed as Qazis by Farooq Azam radiyallahu an, they were Sayyidina Abu Maryam Hanafi, Sayyidina Abdurrahman bin Rabi'a, Sayyidina Abu Qurrah Kindi, and Sayyidina Imran bin Hussein rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhim. So these individuals, dear viewers, up to now whom we've discussed, they were those individuals who were appointed only as the Qazis. As we spoke about the two types of Qazis who were appointed during the time of Farooq Azam radiyallahu anhu. So one type was of those individuals who were only Qazis, and then were those individuals who were Qazis as well as governors. So up until now, we've spoken about those individuals who were appointed only as Qazis. Now, dear viewers, we will talk about those individuals who were appointed as the Qazis as well as the governors of cities. So let's first of all talk about the city of Makkah al-Mukarramah. So Farooq Azam radiyallahu an took this responsibility away from Sayyidina Nafi Khuzai rahmatullah alayh and gave this responsibility to Sayyidina Khalid bin As bin Hisham bin Mughira Makhzumi radiyallahu an and appointed him the governor of Makkah al-Mukarramah. Furthermore, Sayyidina Ya'la bin Umayyah radiyallahu an was made the governor of Sana'a. Sayyidina Sufyan bin Abdullah Thaqafi was made the governor of Taif. Sayyidina Mughira bin Shu'ba radiyallahu an was made the governor of Kufa. Sayyidina Muawiyah bin Abu Sufyan radiyallahu anhuma was made the governor of Sham, the Levant. Sayyidina Uthman bin Abu al-As Thaqafi rahmatullah alayh was made the governor of Bahrain and Oman. Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiyallahu an was made the governor of Basra. Sayyidina Umar bin Sa'ad radiyallahu an was made the governor of Hams. And Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiyallahu an was given the responsibility of making decisions during different battles, and he radiyallahu an was made the commander-in-chief in battles for a very long time. Now, dear viewers, amongst all these names, there are some to whom Farooq Azam radiyallahu an gave the responsibility of being governor of the state, governor of the city, as well as the designation of Qazi, such as Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu an. He was the Qazi as well as the governor of the state. And then there were certain individuals who were given only the responsibility of being the governor of the state, and the designation of Qazi was taken back from them, such as Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiyallahu an, where he was left only with being the governor of the city. Now, dear viewers, another amazing and phenomenal practice of Farooq Azam radiyallahu anhu that was seen was that whenever it came to choose a governor or a qazi of a place, of an area, of a city, then he radiallahu anh would test him himself to make sure that he has all the competencies which are required to be a qazi or a governor of the state. He radiallahu anh would check himself. So he radiallahu anh would also give all the rights to the governor, to the ruler of the province or of the district to choose a qazi of that very area. However, you can imagine that when Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh would give these rights to the governor of the area that he can choose qazi himself, then how competent that very governor himself would be, and how much due diligence and how careful Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh would be himself when he would choose that very individual as the governor of that very state. Because he radiallahu anh is giving them the rights, the authorities, the power of choosing whomsoever they wish as the qazi of their respective cities. Now, dear viewers, when it came to choosing the qazi, then Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh would specially be careful in regards to their character, that how their character is, and regarding their fame as well, that how famous they are amongst the people. And then this wouldn't be enough. He radiallahu anh would even go to the extent of testing them practically himself. At many occasions, he radiallahu anh would test himself whether the person that he is about to appoint as the qazi, he is competent enough to be a qazi or not. For example, when it came to choosing a qazi for Kufa, and when Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh wanted to choose Qazi Shurih rahmatullah alayh as the qazi of Kufa, then how he tested Qazi Shurih rahmatullah alayh, this is again a very famous account. He practically tested Qazi Shurih rahmatullah alayh in terms of how competent he is if he were to be the qazi of Kufa. So what happened was that Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh, he intended to buy a horse from another person, and the condition was that if he likes the horse, then he would buy it. If he doesn't, then he wouldn't buy it. And to test the competency of the horse, the capability of the horse, what Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh does is that he hands the horse over to a horse rider. So to test the competencies and capabilities of the horse, Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh hands the horse over to a horse rider to see how good the horse is. Now, the horse rider, he starts to ride the horse. And coincidentally, what happens is that there was a small accident and the horse gets injured. There was a wound on the horse. Now, Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh wanted to return the horse back to the owner. And the owner of the horse, he refused to take the horse back, because the conditions what were set prior to buying the horse was that if we like the horse, we will buy it. Otherwise, we won't. And we will check the horse. Everything is fine up until now. But what happens is the horse gets injured. And Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh now says that I do not like the horse. So based on the conditions that we had before, now we are returning the horse. And the owner of the horse, he refused to take the horse back. Now this matter is given to Qazi Shurih rahmatullah alayh that he should make a decision between Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh and the owner of the horse. What decision he makes? It is that if permission was taken from the owner of the horse to ride the horse prior to getting the horse, then he should take back the horse, otherwise not. So the decision is that if the owner of the horse, it was decided with him before that we will ride the horse, we will test the horse, if this was decided with the owner prior to purchasing the horse, then the owner has to get back the horse. If not, then he will not take back the horse. So Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh liked this decision of Qazi Shurih rahmatullah alayh, and Qazi Shurih rahmatullah alayh was appointed as the Qazi of Kufa. So dear viewers, this is a great account. This is a great incident where we come to know that how closely Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anh monitored that who is he choosing as the Qazi, and he would also practically test them whether they are competent enough to be the qazi of the time or not. And Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu would specially be careful in regards to the wisdom, the intellectuality of the individual who he is choosing as the qazi of the time. And he radiallahu anhu would also be careful regarding the awe and dignity of that very individual who would serve as the qazi in future. And he also specially wrote this to Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, that he should also be careful and regardful in this regard, that when he is choosing anyone as a qazi, then how good is he in terms of wisdom? How great is he in terms of being famous, and what awe and dignity he possesses in sight of people? So this is how Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu chose that who should be the qazi in his state, in his empire that he had established. So this, dear viewers, is on one side, that how Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu chose an individual to be the governor or to be the qazi or both of a city. That what were the requirements that he set for such an individual. But on the other side, dear viewers, we also come to know that the level of equality, the level of justice that was established during the time of Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, that when in the incident of buying the horse, this arose, dear viewers, what happens is that the matter is taken to the court of the qazi of the time. Keep in mind that Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu is the caliph of the time. He is the ruler of the Muslims. He is the leader of the believers. He can do whatever he wants to. Everything is under his power. He can make whatever decision he wants to, and no one can question him. But look at the establishment of justice. Look at the establishment of equality that he has established, that he had laid down. That even despite being the leader of the time, his case is gone to the qazi of the time. And this matter is decided between the ruler of the time and an ordinary person, in the light of the principles that are established on the foundations of justice. And the qazi, he gives verdict in the light of the principles of Quran and Hadith, regardless of who claimant is and who the other party is, where one side is the ruler of the time and the other side is an ordinary person of the state. The qazi is also giving verdict in the light of Quran and Hadith without having any fear of what the qazi would think about. Allahu Akbar. This is the justice, dear viewers, that Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu had established throughout the Islamic empire, where the qazi or an ordinary person, they all were free and they all had the sense of security that everything would be dealt under the light of justice. And qazi of the time is also following Quran and Sunnah, regardless of whether the verdict goes against the ruler of the time. And this is also the greatness of Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, that he had established this system where everyone had this comfort and this peace of mind that they can follow Quran and Hadith and even go against the ruler of the time if anything is contradictory to Quran and Hadith. This is the greatness of Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, dear viewers. And these principles were not only laid for the qazis and rulers of the time, the governors of the time, but they were laid for coming generations as well. That this is how a prosperous state, a prosperous empire is established. This is how a prosperous community is established. Everything has to be based upon the rules of Quran and Hadith. And these are no fake stories, dear viewers. These are those principles upon which practically the empire of Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, the empire of Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anhu, the state, the empire of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam was founded. And we can see that everyone had justice in that era, in that state, and everyone had that comfort, that sense of security, that they are secure from every aspect and no one can be unjust to them. No one can use their power unjustly against a weak person. This was the great judiciary system, dear viewers, and the great system of justice that Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu had established, dear viewers, and how cautious he was when it came to appointing a qazi. This is how cautious he was to ensure that the qazi of time, the governor of the time, is competent enough to establish justice and law and order throughout the state, throughout the empire, dear viewers, without which it wouldn't be possible to have justice established and prevailing all across the land. This also serves as a great lesson learning for us as well, dear viewers, that how should we also go about when it comes to establishing justice? It should all be in light of Quran and Hadith. It should all be in light of appointing and assigning competent individuals on right areas, in right areas, dear viewers. Only then we can achieve justice. Only then can justice prevail, and only then can people also be peaceful. They can also have the sense of security that their lives, their wealth, their families are sound and safe, and only then we can have law and order prevailing in a state. So dear viewers, in today's episode, we very briefly discussed about how Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu anhu appointed qazis and governors, and we also went through very briefly regarding some of the qazis and governors and those who held both these positions in certain cities. We pray to Allah Almighty that may Allah Almighty shower His choices of mercies and blessings upon the second caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh, and may Allah Almighty forgive us all without accountability for His sake. Ameen. Bijahi khatam al-nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
The second caliph of Islam, Umar ibn al-Khattab.